of the book of Colossians, verse 14. And I'm reading in the King James Version. Verse 14 through 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist or hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in order that in all things he might have the preeminence. And may we truly give him preeminence in all things. We've been looking at the book of Colossians for some time, and we began looking at verses 1 and 2 as an introduction so we could understand. And then we were looking at the prayers of the prison church. We looked at the prayer of praise from verse 3 down to the end of verse 8. Then we looked at the prayer of petition beginning at verse 9 going down through the end of verse 13. And we finished looking at that last week. And now we're going to begin looking at verse 14. Verse 14 is a very interesting verse in this book of Colossians, because it introduces a part, and it is what I call a connective verse. It connects with what was before, and it connects with what is ahead. And it's vital for us to understand that. If you look at it, you will see that, as we looked at it last week, he talked about being snatched out of darkness and transplanted toward the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so what he does in verse 14 is he explains to us how that happens. It is through the redemption, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that more closely. And then he goes on from there and he tells us what makes that redemption possible. And what makes that redemption possible is the power in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is vital. So this section, beginning at verse 14 and actually going all the way down to the end of verse 23, deals with the power of the person of Christ. And let me just say that if you do not understand the power of the person of Christ, you will not understand your walk with Christ, your victory in Christ, your provision in Christ, and all the things that Christ has provided for us as believers. And it's in the power of his person that we receive all those things. And we'll be looking at that as we go. You will also see a connection here. If you look in your Bible, you will see that verse 13 ends with the phrase, the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his love. And it's that is followed by of whom. So it's the son of his love, of whom. And then if you go down to verse 15, it's who, or he is the image of the, and it goes on. So it's all tying the beloved son, of, in whom, and the whole concept he is, you see. And the whole thing is tied together so that we can understand what God is doing. And we'll look at that more closely as we move along. So it's important for us to understand, if I can get hold of these truths, they're life-transforming truths. They're truths that will make us be what we want to be. And I'll point that out in a minute as we look at another passage. But I think it's important for us to understand that. And then the whole understanding that everything that you have, everything that I have, every hope that you have, every hope that I have is tied up in a sovereign Savior who is performing all things according to the will of the Father. And so this is the great truth just generally framed here in this passage. Now, let me give you a translation of verse 14. And you can follow it in your translation, which you have, and I'll give you a literal translation. In the sphere of whom we are possessing the release from captivity through the ransom paid through the blood of His, that is Jesus Christ, the release from the punishment for offenses against God. Now, this verse I have called, actually the first two words, living in the sphere. Living in the sphere. The term in, according to the Greek lexicon, it means either remaining or being in something, or being in the sphere of something. Now, let me give you an illustration because it's really helped me, and maybe it'll help you. Some years ago, my wife and I were watching a documentary on TV, and it was about a young lad. He was 7 or 8 years old, and he was born without an immune system. And you can imagine how dangerous that would be in the world we live in. So his parents had gone through great expense, and they created a little sphere in which he lived. And in that sphere, he was safe. The air was perfect. It was pure. It was clean. Everything inside that sphere was sterile. And so he could go in that sphere and live in that sphere. And he had lived there. And he was 7 or 8 years old by this time. And they were showing the intricate things they had to go through to purify the air, to purify things that went into this sphere. And just think about it in relationship to Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him. We are living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Everything that God has, He put into that sphere so we could live there and not be contaminated by the world of sin outside. And it's vital for us to understand that He put us in that sphere to protect us from everything that is outside the sphere that would destroy us. And so most of the time you will find that I translate the word in the sphere of. You have to be in the sphere of Christ. Now, Paul starts off with the phrase, in whom, or in the sphere of whom. And at first you might just read over the top of that phrase, but let me just point out that Paul's teaching, and in Paul's teaching, this phrase is vital. It is a phrase that is jammed in his writings and in his epistle. Let me just encourage you and challenge you. Read through Paul's epistle and see how many times he talks about being in Christ, in Him, in Jesus, in the Beloved, and many other ways. And you will see that Paul's whole theology is built around this whole concept of being in the sphere of Christ. We are saved in the sphere of Christ. We are sanctified in the sphere of Christ. And if you get out of that sphere, you're in trouble. Just like that little boy, you see. When he went out, he was in real danger that he could catch anything that was out there. And we as believers are the same way. So we've got to live in the sphere. And that's vitally important. And so my question is, where did Paul get this teaching? Well, if you turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. I'll read verses 7 and 8 to you, and most of you could probably quote this, but I'll read it to you. It says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Now, let me give you a translation here. On the condition you dwell in the sphere of me. See, that's where Paul got it. He said, on the condition you dwell in the sphere of me. That's important. That's vital. And then he goes on, and I think this is important to us. He says, also, the words of mine dwell in the sphere of you. You see? Back and forth. We have to dwell in the sphere of him. His word has to dwell in the sphere of us. That is, it has to be part of us. It has to be part of our being. He goes on and says, you shall request or beg. The word ask is an interesting word. It means, it has the idea of a inferior begging for something from a superior. For example, little Johnny said, "Daddy, please." You know, it's that kind of attitude that we come to him as a superior, and we beg from him and receive from him. So the word ask, and he says, you can beg or ask what you wish, and it shall be given to you. Notice, though, we started with a condition. What was the condition? Being in the sphere of Christ and his word being in us. He says, and if that's true, you can ask whatever you want. Why? Because you'll ask the right things. You'll ask what he wants because you're living in the sphere of Christ and in his word is in you. So that is, you can ask whatever you want and you're going to get it. It says, in the sphere of this, the Father of mine has been esteemed or given high esteem. In order that, and this is the purpose for all of this, in order that you should bring forth a superlative quantity of fruit. Did you get that? All of this is for one purpose, that we should bring forth a superlative quantity of fruit. God wants us to be fruitful people. Now, why does God want us to be fruitful people? Well, he tells us. He says, also, that you may continue existing as a learner. In other words, what God does is he has all of this happen so that we can go on and continue to mature. And so this whole business of living in the sphere of Christ is vital. It's vital for us as believers. And whenever I'm out of that sphere, I'm in terrible danger. I'm in terrible danger. As long as I'm in that sphere, I've got everything I need, everything I want, everything is provided. I have life, I have hope, I don't have any sickness. I'm doing great. But boy, get out of that sphere, and I'm in trouble. I can guarantee you that that's a true fact, because I've lived 55 years in and out of the sphere. And it's when I'm in the sphere that I am growing, that I'm maturing, that I'm becoming more Christ-like. It's when I'm out of that sphere that I'm in trouble, that there's deterioration, that there's spiritual sickness. And so what we have to understand is that in Paul's mind, everything that is valuable was in the sphere of Christ. And I just thought this morning, before I move on into interpreting verse 14, that I'd just like to point out how important it is in the mind of Paul. And that's why it's here, and we'll find it as we move through the book of Colossians, that it keeps coming up and keeps coming up and keeps coming up. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, let me tell you, and this may surprise you, that in this one chapter alone, in different forms, Paul uses that phrase 13 times. That's how important it is in the teaching of Paul. He uses that phrase in him, or in the beloved, or in Christ Jesus, 13 times just in this one chapter. And I want to just stop long enough to look at that to show you how important it was in the mind of the Apostle Paul, and how that importance relates to what we're going to be looking at in the book of Colossians. And it's vital for us to note that and understand that. Look at verse 1. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and, or also, the faithful, where? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Let me translate that for you. Also, the confident ones, that's what faithful ones are, the ones who have confidence. He says, in the sphere of the anointed Savior. My confidence and your confidence in believers only exists when we are living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Because in the sphere of Jesus Christ, there is all kind of confidence, because we know that he is God's anointed one to be our Savior. And so because we understand that and we're living in the sphere of him, we are being benefited. You see, that's one of the outcomes of living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. We have confidence. All people who live in Jesus Christ have confidence. And every one of us have Christ living in us. We have to learn to live in him. See, live in him and live in the grace that's ours in Christ. Verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. The literal translation of that is the well-spoken of. That's the well-spoken of is God here. In the sphere of all spiritual things. In the sphere of all spiritual things. Well-spoken of, remaining in the sphere of the heavenlies. In the sphere of the anointed one. Let me explain that. This is something that you and I, if we live in the sphere of Jesus Christ every day, then we can be living in heaven. You realize that that's what he's saying. We are living in the sphere of the heavenlies when we're living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Have you ever talked with people who have said, you know, this life is a hell on earth? You know why it's a hell on earth? Because they're not living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. When you're living in the sphere of Jesus Christ, it's heaven to me. It's heaven to you. You see, we live in that sphere. And Paul says, if you want to know how to live in the heavenlies in Jesus Christ, and he's going to talk about that later on in Colossians, by the way, and just live in the sphere of Jesus Christ. That's where you find it. That's where you find it. It's all yours, and because God has anointed him to be that. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, in order that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now he says, according as he has elected us in the sphere of him before laying down the foundation of the world. In other words, our salvation is bound up in God, but it's all bound up in Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside of the sphere of Jesus Christ. You have to know Jesus Christ. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do anything to get to heaven. You can't even think your way to heaven. The only way that you can get to heaven is being in the sphere of Jesus Christ by God's determined purpose. And God's determined purpose for every one of his children is to live in the sphere of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And it's very interesting because he says that he did this before the world began. He says, in order that the purpose we should continue existing holy, also spotless. God saved us for the purpose of holiness, and we're going to talk about that. But God's great purpose is to make for himself a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You see, we are to be a holy nation before God. And God has done this, but it has to be all in the sphere of Jesus Christ. And that's where it is. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Again, translation, toward the commendation of honor for the absolute free expression of the loving kindness of God to men. That phrase, the free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, is a definition of the word grace. You see, that's what grace is. The free expression of loving kindness of God, remaining in the sphere of that grace, as highly favored in the sphere of the one that he loves. In other words, I know and experience the love of God in its full depth, in its full benefits, and in its full blessings as I stay in the sphere of Christ, because that's where God's love is, because God's love is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so what God wants me to do is abide in him. You see, that's relational. That's relational. To have a relationship with him, to abide in him. And then as I abide in him, all of these things become beneficial to me, and I receive everything I need in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know Christians who are walking in their Christian life and they're no further ahead than they were 20, 30 years ago? Do you know the answer to the reason for that? Is they're not living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. They're living in the sphere of the flesh. And that's why in that passage we read in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul ends up, as Bob was reading to us, quench not the Spirit. See, anytime I move out of the sphere of Jesus Christ, then I'm quenching the Spirit. I'm putting out the fire of the Spirit in my life. And I do that when I'm outside of the sphere of Christ. When I'm in Christ, I love the Spirit, because the Spirit reveals to me the deep things of Christ and shows them to me and teaches me of Him and brings that relationship into my life through the Word which is implanted in me. And that's the, see, there's the relational part, but there's the intellectual part. You can't be a Christian without thinking. You know, faith is the substance. Do you know what that word substance means? It means evidence. It's evidence. Provable evidence. We have provable evidence. What is our provable evidence? The truth of the Word of God as it's committed to us, related to the one in whose sphere we live. You see? And so I live in that sphere, and it's relational and it's intellectual, but it's also experiential. What I mean by that? Well, as I live in Christ, then the likeness of Christ begins to work out of my life. You see? And as the likeness of Christ works out of my life, that's experience. So that's experiential. Though those three should be a vital part of our Christian life and walk. We should have a relational understanding of living in that sphere. We should have an intellectual understanding of living in that sphere. That is, know the Bible and the truth of the Word of God. And we should have an experiential experience as we live in the sphere, because as we live in that sphere, whatever is necessary for our life so that we can experience the truth will continue to change our life, and that experience will be part of our lives. So that's the hope of living in the sphere. Verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You will notice that this is almost exactly the same phrase that we began looking at in Colossians. He starts it off the same way, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And then he defines that as the riches of God's grace. The riches of God's grace. So as we live in the experience of the redemption that we have and the forgiveness that is ours, we also live in the sphere of the grace of God, because in Jesus Christ and in that sphere is all the grace of God poured into us and for us so that we can live as Christians. Verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. You notice he uses that phrase twice in that verse. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, might gather together all things in the sphere of Christ. And let me just point out that word dispensation there, it means the arrangement of his administration. God's got an administration, it's all arranged, and he's got everything in order. We don't have to worry about that. God's a God of order, everything's in order. And at his arranged time, at God's arranged time, it says, the fullness of time, when God has decided, it says, to gather together in the sphere of the Anointed One. that is the one that God has appointed, then everything will come together, and everything, according to 1 Corinthians 15, will be under the feet of Jesus. He will have everything in control. How many of you think it's working out pretty good right now? It sure doesn't look like it, does it? But it is, because God has an appointed time. God has an appointed time. We don't see things like God does. But everything is working out because it's all worked out in the sphere of Jesus Christ. And we'll see that as we move on in Colossians and talk about it a little more. And just in case you missed it, he says it's not only things on earth, but it's things in heaven. He's going to have total control of everything. Everything is going to be under control in the sphere of Jesus Christ. You see? And then he makes it clear, it's even in the sphere of him. Just in case you missed it at the beginning, he puts it at the end so you don't miss it. And that's vital and important. So he says, it's all in Jesus Christ. Have you noticed how everything in the mind of Paul is in the sphere of Christ? Everything. Even the end, even the final victory, even the things that we can't see are all in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That is, in the sphere of whom, or Jesus Christ, also we received a lot for the believers. The reason that we're here today is because in the sphere of Christ, we are all part and partakers of the same inheritance. It's a lot that every believer has. And there's no true believer who does not have part of this inheritance. And so we all got it. We all have the inheritance in Christ, in him, and it's in the sphere of him that we become partakers of that inheritance. I don't know about you. I've probably been around a couple weeks longer than most of you, but notice I said most of you. I have learned that my possessing the benefits of that inheritance are always related to my remaining in the sphere of Jesus Christ. And as I remain in the sphere of Jesus Christ, all the inheritance of being heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ are mine. And so that's what he's talking about, that inheritance that is mine. And this is God's decree for you and for me. He wants us to know that inheritance. And what he's saying is, just stay in the sphere of Jesus. Just stay in him. Live in him. Move and have your being in him. And you will have that inheritance. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ. We are to exist towards the commendation of his, or the honor belonging to him, have and continue to have hope in the sphere of him. All our hope as believers is tied to being in the sphere of Jesus Christ. My hope is not in all my works I do, rolling up my sleeve and polishing the floor in the church, and that doesn't mean a thing. My hope, I mean, I'm not saying don't do that, by the way. That's the only way the church operates, by the way, with the people of God working together. But my hope of heaven and the end is not in what I do down here. It's living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. See, my hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. I know that hope. I feel the strength of that hope. I live in the wonder of that hope. when I'm living in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, notice the second time, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It says, remaining in the sphere of whom you have also heard the word of truth, the good news of deliverance. You cannot be a believer and hear the truth without being in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Everything that I have, everything that I have received is because I was put by God's grace in the sphere of Jesus Christ, and I am obtaining all the benefits of being in the sphere of Jesus Christ. And notice the second part of that. It says, in the sphere of whom also you had faith and were set fast with a signet of the Holy Spirit. See, because I was in the sphere of Jesus Christ, then God gave me the stamp that everything was working and was perfect because he gave me the Holy Spirit. And because I have the Holy Spirit, I know now that because I learn in the sphere of Jesus Christ, that I'm his and he is mine. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 9, and the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. That Holy Spirit is the down payment, and it's because I'm in Jesus Christ that I have received that down payment that I'm going to get the end. I'm going to get it at the end. Verse 15, it says, wherefore also I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and also love unto all the saints. Again, translated, through this I also, after I heard of the conviction of yours in the sphere of the Master, Owner, Savior, also the divine love toward all the holy ones. I want you to notice something that Paul lays down here, and I think we all have to learn this, and this has to become a vital part of ours as the body of Christ. He says that our convictions were in the sphere of Jesus Christ. In other words, what we believed had to do with his person. We'll see in Colossians again when we get back there that this is vital in his thinking. But he says, in the sphere of your convictions relating to the person of Jesus Christ. If you have convictions that are other than those that relate to Jesus Christ, you are going to go to hell. The thing that makes us believers is our convictions in the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what he's accomplished on our behalf. And we'll see that in Colossians. But when you're living in that sphere and you have become part of that sphere, you're going to love each other. Do you find people in the church irritable? Don't answer that. You know when I find people irritable? When I'm not living in the sphere of Christ. When I'm not living in the sphere of his love. I can find, you know, people give me a pain right here. You know? And the problem is not with them. The problem is with me because I'm not living in the sphere of Christ. You see, and what we need to understand is that I'm living in the sphere of Christ, I'm living in the sphere of divine love, and if I'm living in the sphere of divine love, and I know God's love, I cannot help but loving my brothers. That's the way it is, folks. I'm sorry. If you don't love somebody, check what sphere you're living in. Because that's where love abounds, in the sphere of Jesus Christ. That's where it is. And then finally, verse 19. This ends up the 13th here. You notice in some verses it was twice. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Jesus Christ, that's verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand. And let me just underscore something here. that in the sphere of Jesus Christ, according to what Paul is saying here, all the mighty power of God is at work. And all that mighty power is at work in the sphere of Jesus Christ, and you can have it. You can have it if you stay in the sphere. Get out of the sphere and you have nothing. Stay in the sphere and you have all the mighty working of the power of Jesus. Isn't that great? We have all of that in the sphere of Jesus Christ. If we remain in that sphere, we have everything we need. And just keep reading through Paul's epistles and see how often this concept comes up, because Jesus taught it and Paul believed it and taught it. And if Jesus taught it and Paul believed it and taught it, we should believe it and teach it. And that's where we should live as God's people, in the sphere of Jesus Christ. I have to close by asking myself the question, what sphere are you living in, David? What sphere are you living in? The sphere of the flesh or the sphere of Jesus Christ? The sphere of self or the sphere of the Savior? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can live in Christ. Grant us the grace, the wisdom that we find in Him, and the victory to live in the sphere of Jesus Christ, and by doing so to love one another and love a world that's lost in sin. Oh God, grant us a new vision, a new experience, a new relationship of what it means to live in the sphere of Christ. Thank you, Father, for what you will do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll take your hymn books and turn with me to hymn number 276. 270. You may not know the words of this hymn, but you will know the tune when you hear it.